Let it be known in every heart that you are God. Hallelujah, that you are the great God, the God of gods. El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We trust in you and hope in you alone. For there's salvation in none other. It's only in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No prophets can save except the prophet, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's more than a prophet. He's the Son of God. God does have a son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning, amen, with him. And the Word became flesh, became a man, flesh and bone, amen, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He came to reveal the heart of the Father, what God is really like. Jesus said to Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Because Jesus is the express image of the Father. He came to show us the Father. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. He is God. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. And God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Triune, three in one. It's a mystery, but you know who the first people to discover that were? The Jews. Because they knew the Lord our God was one in the Old Testament, Jehovah God. And then there was the coming of the Son of God, the Word that became flesh, the Son came. And then Jesus says, when I go away, I'm going to send someone else to you, the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, really. Who's with you, and then he shall be in you. And so the Spirit of Christ is in our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. If you're not born of his Spirit, then you cannot cry out, Abba, Father. You know what I'm saying? You may be able to play a game. You may be able to mimic or mock or just copy somebody else doing it, but you cannot, in sincerity, worship God until the Spirit of God is in you. And when the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit of God will cry out, Abba, Father. Amen?
Amen?
Your heart will praise. Your heart will worship because of his Spirit in you. So make sure that you're in Christ, that his Spirit is truly in you. Because the Bible says if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He doesn't belong to him. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life in Christ. Is our hope of glory. Make sure you are in Christ, that you were born of his Spirit. He didn't come to give us religion. He didn't come to give us more formalities. They were used to formalities. They were used to playing church, if you will. But Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us his life, to impart into us his Spirit, so we become his children. And we will walk in his ways. We will know the truth. Written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ in us who teaches us, leads us in the truth. And when we know that truth, we're in freedom. As we discover who we are and the freedom that is ours in Christ, as by faith we receive that and appropriate it, we are walking in a true freedom. Amen. Not a freedom, an irresponsible freedom to do whatever you please, but a freedom to serve God, free of fear and doubt and shame and guilt and condemnation and all those ugly things that we all hate. Last week, I talked a little bit about the difference between condemnation and conviction. See, the devil is good at condemning people. And what he does is he gets people in condemnation. He accuses and he points you to your sin so that you will feel ashamed and you will, if you're not careful, turn away from God rather than to God. So the Holy Spirit convicts us because the Lord wants us to come to him for healing and for deliverance and for freedom. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us to point us to Jesus, to the Savior. Condemnation draws you away from God. Conviction draws you to God. That's how you know the difference. When the devil is condemning you, he's always going to try to pull you away from fellowship with God's people. He's going to try to pull you away from the light. He's going to try to pull you away from Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is always drawing us in His love and His mercy and calling us to fellowship and say, just come home, just come back. Just deal with that thing. You don't have to carry it around. Amen. It's a word away from you just to come to God and confess. And He forgives you, folks. It's just like that. He forgives you. He wants to forgive. He bled and died so we could be forgiven. That's God's heart. He wants to forgive us. That means to cancel the debt that we owe. That's what He really wants. So why? So we can be restored to fellowship with Him. So we can have peace in our hearts with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And we can walk in the miracle that is the new life, the new birth. Hallelujah. I am no longer a slave to sin. I'm a child of God. Amen. That's my identity. Hallelujah. When I walk in that identity, I don't walk in sin. You understand? Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we sin. We have an advocate with the Father. But my identity is no longer a sinner, but a son in Christ Jesus. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, amen, the authority, the power in the King James, to become what? Sons of God. That's God's plan. That's what God wants. He wants to, you understand, your family. You're the family of God. When you receive Christ, you become a new creation in Him. And you enter into a discovery process of discovering who you are. And we still struggle with that old part of us that needs to be renewed. And it thinks a certain way that's contrary to God's way. But we need to change our thoughts, our thinking, through the renewing of our mind, through the Word of God. A discovery of who I am now. Not what the devil tells me I am. He's a liar. He wants to accuse and he wants to condemn and he wants you to focus on your problem or on your sin. But the Holy Spirit doesn't get you to focus on it except to convict you of it, to see that, yes, I've blown it with God. I've sinned against God. And what is the solution? Come to Jesus. Come to the Savior. Come to the one who forgives. It doesn't matter what you did last week. It doesn't matter what you did earlier this morning. Just come to God, immediately confess it, amen, renounce it, and go on. Get back up and get back in the race. Come on, the devil's a thief. And the only weapon he has is deception and lies to tell you you're not when you are. If he can convince us that we're not children of God, then we will live as sinners. If you don't believe that you're a new creation, if you don't believe that you have victory over sin through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then you will live in the lie. But it was for that reason that Jesus came, to set us free from the power of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law any longer. You're in grace. You're in Christ. So walk in your freedom. Receive your freedom. Accept that truth as your truth, and walk in it. What you believe will determine how you live. If you believe the truth, you will walk in the truth. If I'm believing a lie, I will live a lie. Glory to God. Well, folks, remember those who are not here today. Pray for them. You know, we don't know what they're facing. Maybe they're on vacation, but maybe they're going through a struggle right now. But look around and notice those who are not here that you know. And remember to pray for them, okay? We need God's grace, all of us do. You know, we can't do this without Him. And God's going to teach us that one way or another. That we can't do this without Him. You can't live this without Him. It's all about Him, amen? And it's His grace and in His strength alone that we stand. And there's nothing worse than the feeling of helplessness. Has anybody beside myself been in a place where you just felt helpless? There's just nothing. You've tried everything in your arsenal. There's just, You're all out of ammunition. You're all out of ideas. You're all out of your own cleverness. You come to a place where there's absolutely nothing you can do about your situation. How many enjoy being in that place? Do you know that often that very place is there by God's design? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about today. And the title of the message today is You Cannot, But God Can. You have, and I have to come to the place where we realize we cannot. God will bring you to the place where you cannot. And it's in that place where God can. And you will see the glory of God. You will see the majesty, the goodness of God. You will see God's victory. You will experience God's grace, God's power in the place of helplessness. God enables us by His Spirit to do all things according to His will. We can do it. If God says it, if He tells us to do it, then we can do it. If you believe, all things are possible. If you believe, if you have faith in God, all things are possible. God has given many of us here promises. You've received words from God. God spoke to you in the past, and He's given you promises. And you're some of you, you're still waiting for that promise. You're saying, when God, or how God, and what is this going to look like, or when is it going to happen? And you find yourself sometimes to a place where it seems like everything that you had hoped and everything that you have desired and those things that God put in you and those words that were spoken over you have come to an end. There's been a death to the promise. But folks, God is in the resurrection business. This is how He does it. He has to bring us, listen, to the end of ourselves, so that we can walk in Him. Where we can say, as Paul the Apostle did, it is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And I said this, and it was prophetic, and some of you have heard this and have experienced it since, and maybe we'll still yet to experience some more of this, but it's part of God's process to get us into the place where we can truly be blessed by Him. He wants to bless us, but He can't bless a mess. So He has to get us into the position for His blessing. And that place is at the end of ourselves. God will allow you and I to fail over and over again until we come to the end. Till we come to the place of utter helplessness. And all we can say is, God, unless You intervene, unless You help, I don't have any hope. And that's when God comes in. When we're done with our ways, listen, now we're ready for His ways. You're not ready for His ways until you and I are through with our way. And we have to understand that our way is a destructive way. Come on. There's people who have gone their way, and they might have become successful in this world, at least for a season, but inside they're dying, they're dead, they're empty. It all seems so meaningless, unless they understand their eternal purpose, which can only be revealed to us through Jesus Christ, who is the Creator God. Amen? The Father spoke through the Son, and the Spirit did the work of creation. Let there be light, and there was light. So often we find ourselves in situations where we face helplessness. And the less dependent we are on ourselves, the more dependent we are on God. And the more dependent you are on God, the more grace you experience in your life. How many have found that to be true? The less dependent we are on ourselves And the more dependent we are upon God, the greater the grace of God in our lives. We're not ready. See, we're not in the place to walk in God's ways, once again, until we are done with our ways. Till we have taken our plans, our agendas, and we lay them all out on the altar and say, God, you're Lord, and now you decide. And God has to take us to a place of brokenness and of emptiness often so that he can bring us into a place of plenty. He can bring us into a place of his blessing and of his favor, of the promise to be fulfilled in your life. Israel found themselves often in situations where they were helpless. Do you know who set them up? God did. God set them up in that situation because he wanted to teach them of his faithfulness. He wanted to prove to them that he would take care of them. He wanted them to believe his word. And people, we don't believe God's word until we're tested in it. We can hear all kinds of messages. We can have all kinds of scripture memorization, you know, and we can quote scriptures. But it's not until we're tested in that, that it becomes our reality. And that only if we overcome and pass the test. So God brings us to places in our lives where we've never been before. Is anybody in a place today that you've never been before in your life? Mm-hmm. See, God wants to make us aware of our own insufficiency. The world is full of itself and pride and comparing and competing and who has the most and the biggest and the best and who's first and who's the best looking and, you know, all these things that are being esteemed. And many people struggle and strive to get and reach these goals that they set for themselves. And when they get there, they find out, well, that was an empty pursuit. It didn't satisfy me like I was told it would. Unless we find our contentment in God, you're never going to be content. Whether you have much or little, your contentment is not based upon what you own or your status in life. Your contentment can only come through the indwelling presence of the Lord, who is your peace. He is the only one that will truly satisfy your life, your soul. And God wants to reveal himself to us, but he can't unless we are in a place where we want to know him. And often when we know that we need him. There's many here I'm talking to today. You're right there. You say, I know I'm in that place where I'm just helpless right now. And God's going to teach you something in that place. Because what God wants to do is he wants to take you through that river. He doesn't want you to build a bridge over it. He's going to take you through it. Look at Israel here in Joshua chapter 3. They found themselves facing an impossible situation. And God had told Joshua to be of good courage, and he was going to take him into the land, and he was going to disperse their enemies. They were going to go in and possess the land, and they were going to enter into a place called Jericho. And God was going to bring a great victory. And God was going to exalt Joshua in that place. Well, they had to face some situations. And every time God gives a promise, there's usually something that's in the way of you receiving that promise. Huh? Right? How many of you are facing something that's been there, you haven't been able to get through it? Okay. See, God... God is the only one that's going to get you through it. And sometimes we're coming up with all kinds of clever ideas. Well, if I just do this or this and this and this, well, that ain't going to work either. Or you may think that you did all right on that one, and then later on it comes back to bite you because, well, that wasn't God's plan either. That was just your own cleverness. And we're not to be wise in our own understanding, but we're to acknowledge God in everything. We're to ask him, seek him, pursue him. So Joshua 3:1, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan River. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days. They had to pause for how long? 3 days. That the officers went through the camp Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, what does that represent? The ark represents God's presence. And the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go, what? After it. What are we to go after? God's presence. We are to pursue what? God's presence. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. There needs to be a respect for God's presence, His holiness. Amen? And not only that, God wants us to be in a position where we can see the fuller picture of what He's doing. And sometimes, folks, you're going to see through a perspective that you didn't expect. Sometimes we're expecting God to do things this way, but He does it a different way. And Joshua said to the people in verse 5, sanctify yourselves. What does sanctify mean? It means to set yourself apart. Cleanse your mind, your thoughts, your deeds, your actions, what you're doing. Set yourself apart for God. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Why did God bring Israel to the river? He brought them to the river to bring them to the end of themselves. You see, the Jordan means to descend. The name of Jordan means to descend. And so we have a picture here of 3 days of Christ being where? In the grave. So the Jordan represents death. And what was the death? The death was to self. That's how it, what it means to us today. God was bringing Israel to a place where they were helpless. And they could not depend on their own wisdom, their own cleverness, their own ability. But they were going to have to trust in God's ability. And in the place where we trust God's ability, there is God's provision. There is God's deliverance. There is God's power. There is God's victory that we're walking in. Why? Because we can't do it, but God can. You cannot do it, but God can. So God brings us to a place of helplessness so that He can demonstrate Him to us that He is our deliverer. So how do I overcome the obstacles that stand in my way? How do you overcome these obstacles? How do you overcome this river? You overcome it by first, listen, coming to the realization that you can't. You cannot enter into the promises of God on your own. Are you hearing me? You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to pursue God's presence. You're going to have to follow God's leading. And He will guide you into the promise. But it comes through death. It comes through a death to my ways so that I can now walk in His ways. See, we're not ready for Jesus until we're done with ourselves and we're done with sin. We've repented. We're done with our ways. I'm now ready for Jesus. I'm ready for His ways. How many here are ready for Jesus' ways now? Amen? How many here are saying, I'm through with sin. I'm done with it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired and living in that. Whenever you and I face a new challenge, the first thing we need to do is we need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to remember what God has done in the past. Have you ever sat around and kind of reflected on things that God has done in your life? Have you ever found yourself being encouraged by the remembrance of the things that God has done for you already? That's called your testimony. And you overcome the devil by the word of your testimony. When he comes up with doubt and fear, and he tells you God's going to forsake you, God's not going to get you through this, you need to go back and reflect on the testimony that God has given you through the past victories and say, wait a minute, God has been with me here, He's been with me here, and I know He's going to be with me there. Do you know David himself found himself facing warfare, you know, and many enemies that were trying to destroy him and the people. And David had to learn how to reflect on the faithfulness of God. He had to learn how to encourage or strengthen himself in the Lord. And we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And verse 2, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. And the reason why is probably because they knew that they could use them as slaves. And so the men were not there. The women and children were alone. And the enemies came in, the Amalekites. And the Amalekites, by the way, represent the flesh nature, the sin nature. So in verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. You know, what happens is when we start to go through something, if we're not careful, we'll get into this thing called the blame game. We try to find somebody to blame our problems on. If it wasn't for that woman you gave me. If it wasn't for the serpent, right? We get into the blame game. And we need to take a look at ourselves, and we need to be responsible for our own actions and quit blaming everybody else around us. Be honest before God. But the people wanted to stone David. You know, and because of the soul of all the people, they were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. You can only imagine what it was like to lose their families. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What did David do? He first inquired of the Lord. It says that he sought the Lord, and then he pursued the Amalekites and defeated them. Why? Because he received a word from God. We need to hear from God. You need a word from God. Amen. You need to pursue his presence, and you need to listen for his voice, because God wants to speak to us. And sometimes we're not listening to God when he's speaking to us, even on Sunday morning through just a clay vessel. How many know that God is speaking this morning? I'm just a clay vessel, but God does use me, and he uses you too, if you'll yield yourself and be available. Amen. So God is speaking, and we're grunting over here for a word and over there for a word, but we're not listening to the word that God is giving us already. And so David inquired of the Lord. He sought the Lord, and he received instruction from God. He was a wise man, because he didn't just go off on a limb. He didn't get into panic mode and start coming up with all kinds of crazy ideas of how he's going to do this. He sought the Lord, and the Lord spoke clearly to him and said, go and pursue Amalek, the Amalekites, for I've given them into your hand, and God was going to give them the victory. And so David, in obedience to the word of God, obeyed, and he destroyed the enemies. The only way you're going to destroy your enemies is by listening and obeying the word of God. Do you want the enemies out of your life? You want the devil out of your life? Start listening to the voice of God. God will give you strategies. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you a plan. Amen. He'll give you a way of escape. God is faithful. He wants to speak to you, but he wants you to come to him. He wants you to know him. He loves you, and he wants you to spend time with him, to get acquainted with his voice, to know the voice of the shepherd, so that you're not being distracted and deceived by other voices. Many people are saying, well, God spoke to me, God told me, and they're doing crazy things in the name of God. Are you hearing me? They're not hearing the right voice. They're not hearing the true God. We need to know the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. We need to know the voice of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord, our shepherd. So David inquired of the Lord, and then God gave them wisdom. He gave them ability. He gave them a strategy. You and I are prone to self-reliance. We're born that way. So it's contrary to our natural man to yield control to someone else and allow somebody else to make the decisions now. And so there's a battle within us as to who is going to be in charge. Yeah, is it going to be the Lord, or is it going to be me? And so God loves us so much that he'll just take things to all kinds of extremes, folks, to get our attention so we'll get our sights off us and get our dependence off us so he can bring us into his promises so we can walk in his ways, so we can walk in the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit if you're full of your own self and your own ways. God has to bring us to the place of helplessness. He has to bring us to the end of ourselves. And it's in that place that we're now ready. Lord, I'm ready now. Some of us are real stubborn. I'm a stubborn one. But God has ways of getting our attention. Would you say amen to that? And the Jordan represents the enemy that stands in your way. God wants to take you over. And it's not going to be because we came up with a clever idea. Well, why don't we build a bridge? Or why don't we take boats across? No, this was in the time of the flooding of the Jordan, and they weren't going to do it. They needed a miracle to get across, and God was going to be the one to do it. But they were going to have to follow his presence in order to get through. You know, folks, that we're not saved by our own ways. We're saved by God's ways. It's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know people go to hell? You know Jesus spoke about hell more than he did heaven? And Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God has done everything that he can do to keep people from going to hell. Hear me. God is not desiring anyone to go to hell. Sometimes we've desired people to go to hell. Just keeping it real here. But that's not God's heart. That's the sin nature, amen? God's heart is to save. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to the end of themselves, that they should come to the place where I'm making the change. I'm changing my mind about my ways, my stubborn ways. I'm laying it down. I'm laying my ways, my agenda down, and I'm just cleaning the slate and say, God, I'm through with me. What do you have for me? That's a good place to be. That's an awesome place to be. I'm so glad that God brings me to the end of myself so that I can now discover who I am in him. And I can walk in the new life and experience the righteousness and the peace and the joy of his fellowship in the Holy Spirit. It's not in self. When we die to self, we live in him. But the natural man doesn't understand that. The natural man says, save yourself. And Jesus said, if any man will save his life, he will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. Wow. I want his life. I want the superior life. I want the abundant life. I want the life that Jesus bled and died to give me. And he's saying, I'm calling you also now to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. I want to be where he is. I want to pursue God's presence. Because he knows the way through the wilderness. He knows the way through the rivers. And when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Do you know why people go to hell? Because they refuse the mercy and the grace of God. Are you hearing me? God pleads with mankind. God strives with mankind. In the days of Noah, the Spirit of the Lord strove through Noah to reach that generation of people who are stubborn and refuse to listen to God. And for 120 years, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness and people still refuse to listen. We are living in those days again, folks, where people are not listening to the voice of God. They are refusing. They are continuing to be stubborn. Even though God is working a process to hopefully get their attention, to bring them to the place where they're going to understand that your way is the way of destruction. I have to forsake my way so I can walk with Him in the way. And it's a place where there's liberty. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. To know that I'm at peace with my God. And I'm walking with Jesus. I'm not under the yoke of slavery to bondage to performance and my works. I'm done with my works. I'm simply believing God now. I'm trusting God now. It's not by my works. Lest anyone should boast. So he could say, look how holy I am. Now, folks, if you've got something to write with, I want to give you something to take with you. And I want you to really think about this. Pray over this. About your own situation right now. But there is a process in which God deals with His people. There's a process through which God deals with the people. And let me just say this before I give you these. God takes no delight in these things that I'm going to mention to you. He does not delight in it. But because God loves us so much, He will go to extremes to get our attention. Are you hearing me today? The first one is when we sin, God first sends conviction. He doesn't send condemnation. He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save the world. So the first thing God does is what? Sends conviction. 1 John 1:9, you can write that down. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But what happens if we refuse to confess our sins? Well, then God brings chastisement, punishment. Anybody here like to be chastised? You see, if we would listen the first time, if we would be willing to say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I confess it, I renounce it, I'll be good. He's a good father. He loves His children, and He has to discipline us. He takes us to point two. He takes us into chastisement. Because we're sons and daughters, we will be chastised. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chastise, at least at that time? Hebrews 12 and verse 8 says, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, all who? In Christ. Then you are illegitimate and not sons. In other words, if you are a child of God, then God is going to chastise you if you will not listen to His voice. How many of us have done that to our children? Not because we hated them, but because we loved them. We said, listen, if you don't listen to my voice, there are going to be consequences in your life. There's going to be some problems down the road if you don't learn to listen to my voice. And if you want to be stubborn, then, well, okay, we're going to take a trip out here behind the barn or wherever your place is. And we will take the Board of Education to this, what? Seat of understanding. But because we love, we need to chastise. Why? Because we're born in rebellion. And if you don't discipline a child, the child doesn't learn how to discipline themselves. We're living in times where there is such a lack of any kind of discipline or self-discipline because of the philosophy of our day that you don't spank your children. So the child never learns that there are consequences for their actions, and they never learn how to control themselves. But if you know there's going to be a consequence for what you're doing, you may think twice about doing it. Come on. You see, God knows what He's talking about when He says, don't spare the rod. God loves us, so He chastises us. What happens if chastisement doesn't work? And this is something, folks, I want you to hear this. God doesn't do very often, and He doesn't want to do this. But God raised up prophets in Israel to listen, to openly rebuke them. David had an affair with Bathsheba. David was a man after God's own heart. But David sinned. And David was hiding his sin. And David would not confess his sin. And even when he was being chastised, he was still holding on to it. Eventually, God raised up a prophet called Nathan, and Nathan came and confronted David publicly and humiliated him in front of everybody, his whole palace there. And he says, "You are the man that has sinned." And what did David do? He says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And do you know what God said through Nathan? He says, "This day your sins are removed from you." He woke up. It took an open rebuke. Sometimes, folks, the only thing that's going to work with certain people, and sometimes us, and sometimes me, is an open rebuke. And you know, sometimes we say, "Well, they're hateful. How could they rebuke?" Because you love enough. If you're doing it out of love, it's a good thing. But it's not something that you desire, and it's certainly not something that God wants to do. But sometimes, if we're not listening to the conviction and the chastisement, then comes the open rebuke. And I want you to understand something, folks. This is also New Covenant, New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul the Apostle was speaking to Timothy, who was a son of his in the Lord. He was one that he had mentored, Timothy. And he told Timothy, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not." Listen to what he said. "Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." And folks, I can tell you that I want to be faithful to God, to speak what God tells me to speak, even when it's not popular, even when I know there are repercussions, that people don't like me because I told them the truth. But I love you enough to tell you the truth, and I know I'm going to answer to God if I don't tell you the truth. And sometimes it just takes a rebuke to get somebody's attention. And sometimes that's what I need. Because we can be stubborn, but God loves us, and so He will do what it takes to get our attention. Why? Because He doesn't want us to be lost. He said, people right now, they're running around looking for people who are telling them smooth things. They're not giving the balanced word of God. They're taking all the candy and all the sugar, and they're putting it together, and they're just feeding them candy all the time. And what you have is a sick individual. You can't live on candy. You need to have a balanced meal, amen? You need the full counsel of God in order to be healthy. And there's too many today because that's what people want. Just give me the candy. We're like little kids that just want to eat the candy, but we don't want to eat the vegetables. But we need that balance. We need the whole counsel of God to be healthy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24, it says, "But if all prophesy..." That means speak on behalf of God. "And an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in to a church meeting. He is convinced by all. He is convicted by all." And verse 25, "And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You're listening to a message. Maybe even today, God's been speaking. The light's been coming on. You're hearing Him very clearly, you know, and you want to sometimes just crawl under the pew. I've been in that many times myself. But that's good. That's God loving on me enough to tell me the truth. And He's saying, if you're all prophesying and listening to God and speaking for God correctly, then what happens, there's an exposure of the hidden things of the hearts. They become to come to light. Ooh. And sometimes there's things that we didn't even know were in there until the Word of God comes and puts light on it. Come on. And that's why we need to be lovers of the truth, lovers of the Word, because it's the Word that brings purity. It's the Word that brings light. It's the Word that frees us from the deception of and the lies of the enemy. God gives us His Word. Thank God for the Word. Hallelujah. Why did God expose David, by the way? Because He loved him. Because He loved him, and He didn't want to lose him. Now, what happens if even open rebuke doesn't work? We're now going to the fourth point. What happens if open rebuke doesn't work? Then God has to send judgment. Folks, do you understand that America has not listened? We as a people have sinned. We have not listened to the conviction. We have ignored the chastisement and the open rebukes, even from the people that speak for God, that are speaking out against the things that are happening today. Oh, they're mocked, they're doomsayers, they're negative people, whatever. They're Bible thumpers. There's people that love this nation and love the people of this nation enough to speak out against the things that they see happening because they know that the way what we're going is the way of destruction. And God has been sending a clear message to even those in authority over us, folks, but no one seems to be listening. And so the judgments of God have already started on this nation. That's, you look throughout the Word of God and throughout history, that's how God deals with the people. Eventually it comes to the place where we're now entering into the judgments of God. And if we will wake up and if we will turn back to God and we'll cry out to Him, if we'll repent as a nation, then God will hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sin. He'll heal our land. He'll bring restoration to America. It's not too late. But the problem is people are not listening. And the judgments will become more severe. Because God wants to save America. God loves this country. He wants to save you. He wants to save me. God wants to heal. He wants to restore. Now this is bringing to the final point here. I want you to hear this, folks. This is where it begins to get scary. If people continue to resist God, refuse to listen to His voice, after He has convicted them, after He has chastised, after He has brought open rebuke and then into judgment, the last stage, folks, is what you call a reprobate mind. God has done everything He can do. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. And folks, I want you to hear, even as believers in Jesus, we need to fear the Lord. We need to take Him seriously. We need to understand that God means what He says in His Word. That God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but He hates sin. And if you and I decide that we want to go our own way and we continue to persist in sin, what we're doing is we're defiling many others. And if there is a rogue sheep within a flock who continues to go astray and he begins to step outside of the bounds that were set by the shepherd, what happens is that rogue sheep begins to eat the noxious weeds. And he begins to drink from polluted waters. And the rogue sheep will lead other sheep with him into those same places. Do you understand that's what's happening today in the body of Christ? There are many people who refuse to listen to the voice of God. And not only are they not going to be saved, but they're taking other people with them in the same direction. And eventually what the shepherd has to do is he has to take that sheep out. And if people continue to persist in rebellion, the Bible says that God finally, like He did in the days of Noah, He takes His hands off. He lets them go. He says, well, you've chosen your path. That's the way you want to go. And now you'll be filled with your own ways. And now you'll reap what you have been sowing. Because I strived with you. But my spirit will not strive forever. And as it was in the days of Noah, we are living in that time today. And this is no time to play patty cake with the devil and with sin. Amen. It's no time to be playing church. It's time to draw near to God. It's time to know God's voice. It's time for the church to return to the altar and to prayer and to seek God's face, to seek His presence. Because God wants to take you from that place of helplessness into provision, into plenty, into His blessing. Are you hearing me? God wants to take you from this reality into the superior reality of His kingdom. There is a teaching today that tells people, well, all you did is you said the sinner's prayer. You asked Jesus to come into your heart, and now you're going to heaven. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible where it says you say this prayer and you go to heaven. The Bible says that you follow Jesus and he will lead you. Amen. He will take you there. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be in Christ. That means I'm abiding in Christ. I'm in him. He is my security. Amen? If I'm a rogue sheep and I'm just out here doing my own thing, folks, I'm vulnerable to the enemy. God's saying, come back. Forsake your way. If you don't forsake your way, I'm going to send chastisement. I'm going to punish you. Why? Because he's mean? Because he loves you. A good father loves his children enough to chastise them. Amen? And if the chastisement doesn't work, then there's going to be judgment. There's going to be some severe penalties. He wants to get our attention. That's why he's getting America's attention today, folks. And the church needs to wake up and realize, folks, we can't just sit around like we've been doing and just hope it'll go away, because it's not going to go away unless the church gets back to God. Do you understand? The church is backslidden. The church is away from God. The church is living in sin. The church is just like the world. We pattern our lives after what's popular in Hollywood. Not according to Jesus Christ, who is the way. We are representing him. His honor is at stake. We want to bring honor to our God by the way we live our lives. They see, now that's a true Christian. I don't see very many of them, but that's a true Christian. I see a lot of hypocrites, but that's somebody who's really living the life. Why? Because they really believe. If you really believe the truth, you will live the truth. Don't call yourself a believer if you're not living in the truth. Amen. Living in the truth means I believe enough to say yes to God and no to me. Hallelujah. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. The glories that we will share. See, the problem is we want a crown, but we don't want the cross. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to be done with ourselves. You can't follow Jesus until what? You're done. And so God will bring us to failure. But I want to, let me tell you something. You're not a failure because you fail, because we all fail. You're only a failure if you accept defeat. You're here today, amen, you haven't accepted defeat. You said, no, it's not an option. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back in the race. I'm going to start calling out to Jesus again. I'm going to start to discover who I am in him and in his will for my life. And I'm going to get on the path with Jesus. Amen. Because I want to finish well. I want to see Jesus smiling in that day when I see him. I want to hear him say, well done, faithful servant. Amen. Amen. My good and faithful servant. Why? Because we served him and not ourselves. Yeah. Jesus bought us with his blood. He shed his blood for all humanity, so anybody could come to him and be saved through his blood. We have the message. We've been given that message. We can point people to the Savior. God will speak through us at times. God will bring conviction. When we're convicted, just simply say, okay, Lord, I'm guilty. I repent. Forgive me. You know, I've got to do that on a daily basis. Yeah. Just do it. As soon as you blow it, call on Jesus. I know some of you got halos. I see those halos. But we're learning how to lean on Jesus. And when we lean on Jesus, we find his power is sufficient for our every need and for our victorious walk with him. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Are you? Say no. Make me feel good. If you're in Christ, if Jesus Christ is in you, you're a child of his. You're no longer a slave to Pharaoh or to the devil. You've been liberated by the blood of the Lamb and brought out to do what? To enter in and possess your possessions. To get into the land of promise where God is leading you by His Spirit, but we've got to pursue His presence. That's why we worship. That's why we sing to God. That's why we read His Word. That's why we pray. Because we want to know His voice and we want to pursue His presence. Because His presence is going to take us into those places of abundant life. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You for the Word today. Can I ask everybody just to take a moment to bow your head? What is it that the Lord has spoken to you? I don't know, but what has God spoken to you about today? Are you at that place of helplessness? Are you at that place of desperation? Are you at that place where there's nothing I can do? Do you know what? You need to understand that's a good place to be, because when you cannot, God can. And God wants to for you. God wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. God wants to work a miracle in your life. I want you just to, right where you're at, repent of unbelief and doubt and negativity and complaining because you don't like where you're at. Well, God brought you there for a reason. And sometimes we put ourselves there, but God still knows how to work that out. There's nothing that He cannot do. He can restore. And He can restore to you that which the devil has stolen from you. But you tell the Lord right where you're at, Lord, I just surrender. I surrender my all to You. God, I want to be done with my ways. I come to You, Lord, and I say, take my life and lead me in Your paths. Lead me in Your ways, Lord. I want to follow You, Jesus. Grant me Your grace to follow You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. It's not by might nor power. It's not by human wisdom, intellect, cleverness, ability, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of grace that you overcome this world.